Today on The Journey.
Let's spend some time thinking about what needs to be happening in our lives so that we can say with assurance, I have no doubt that if I would die right now, I would wake up in the presence of Christ.
It's more trustworthy than tomorrow's dawn, more certain than Earth's gravity. It's the promise Jesus made to believers. I will never leave you or forsake you. In this broadcast, Ron Moore shares that truth and tells you how to experience its certainty in your life. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Assurance, on the Journey.
I think it was after my junior year in college, I had come back home for the summer, and several of my friends from high school, from different churches, decided we were going to do a Bible study. And so I remember meeting one night in a person's house, and we were doing the study, and the subject that night moved to this issue of what some people call assurance of salvation, or other people call eternal security, or other people call perseverance of the saints, or we used to call once in grace, always in grace. That night, a girl named Jan said that she had become a Christian earlier in her life, and during her high school years, she, let's just say, sowed some wild oats. And in college, she came back to Christ. And that night, Jan said, I know this. If I had died during my high school years, I know I would have gone to heaven. Now, I've always been a little sensitive and gentle and pastoral. And I said, Jan, you are cracked. Jan, we all know what you did in high school. This is a small town, not to remind you of those things, but how could you even begin to think that had you died during that time, that you would have spent eternity in heaven doing the things you were doing? And she said this, I can tell you, I know with certainty where I would have spent eternity. And I said, Jan, you are wrong. You are wrong. What do you think? Can a person who has truly trusted in Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior lose his or her salvation? We're involved in a series of sermons we've titled Reflecting the Glory. And during this series, it is our purpose to nail down some essential truths of the Christian faith. We want to be able to understand these truths so that we can explain them to others. We want to be able to accept these truths as our own so that we have the passion to live them out and to explain them. And we want to be able to reflect these truths. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. And so we have decided on some essential truths. We looked at salvation, to know what it means to be a Christian and to be able to share that with others. But to talk about the things that are truly important, eternal stuff. We looked at repentance, what it means to repent, not a flippant I'm sorry, but what it means to turn from our sin and turn to Christ. We looked at forgiveness, and we saw our sins burning before God, because when God takes them, he does away with them. And today we want to look at this doctrine called assurance, or again, eternal security or perseverance of the saints. Now, you may know this doctrine, and you may say, I believe it. I know all about it. I believed it for a long time. I want you to walk out of here with the confidence to be able to share it today with someone else. Now, there are a lot of places we could start. But turn with me to John 6, and let's start there. Verse 37, listen to the words that Jesus says. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that has been given to me, but raise him up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have what? Eternal life. And I will what? Raise him up the last day. Now, I want you to think about that promise that comes from Jesus Christ himself. He says, salvation is of the Lord. And all the Father gives to me, I will keep them. I will not lose them. I will raise them up on the last day. They will not perish. I'll make sure of it. And that's quite a promise, isn't it? Turn a couple chapters over to John 10, verse 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Think of the intimacy there. And they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So here Jesus says, for the believer, his sheep, he holds them in his hand, and no one, including the person, can snatch them out of his hand. Father, who is greater than all, holds us in his hand, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. They will never perish. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Every word there is in what tense? Past tense. Good as done tense. And so as God looks down on us, theologians call this the golden chain. Those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justifies. And those he justifies, what's he do? He glorifies. As good as done. You see, when we look at Scripture, we cannot go away from Scripture, if we're honest, without understanding that when we are a child of God, we will forever be. When we've truly trusted in Christ, there is nothing that can separate us from his love. When we've truly trusted in Christ, there is nothing that can snatch us out of his hand. When we are born into the family of God, we will be a child of God forever. But I had this friend, and they were going great guns for Christ. They were leading Bible studies. People came to Christ through them, and they were teaching. And today, they have, in essence, jettisoned the faith. And so, are these people still a believer? I don't know. But John, in his first epistle, says this: they went out from us. So they were a part of us at the beginning. They went out from us, but they really didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So there can be people who show some external signs, but have no lasting faith. And the poster child for that is who? He walked with Jesus for 3 years. Judas. So maybe this person was never a child of God. Or maybe they were like the prodigal son. Maybe you caught them in a snapshot of their life when they were in a rebellious state. Maybe you saw them when, like the prodigal son, they wanted to take their father's money and go squander it. But I promise you this, if that's the case, there will be a time when the prodigal son, what? Comes to his senses and returns home. And I don't know how long that will be. Jesus gives no time frame on the prodigal son, how long he was away. But if they're truly a child of God, there will be a time when they get up and they turn back home. J.I. Packer, a great theologian, says this: sometimes the regenerate backslide and fall into gross sin. But in this, they act out of character, do violence to their own nature, and make themselves deeply miserable, so that eventually they seek and find restoration to righteousness. In retrospect, their lapse seems to have been madness. So let's spend some time thinking about what needs to be happening in our lives so that we can say with assurance, I know that I know that I know. I have no doubt that if I would die right now, I would wake up in the presence of Christ. I know I would spend eternity in heaven. What are some of the pieces of evidence that need to be present for you to be able to say that with confidence? Let me give you three strands of evidence that need to be going on in our life. Here's the first one. Do I have a present relationship? Do I have a present trust with Christ for salvation? Yeah, I know you trusted in Christ back when, but today, do I have a present trust in Jesus Christ for salvation? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The word believe is in the present tense. It means not a past action. It means a continuing action. And when God calls you to himself, when he justifies you, there will be a constant, present, continuing belief in Jesus Christ. It's fine that you walked down an aisle when you were 12 and kneeled at an altar when you were 20 and signed a card when you were 30 and prayed a prayer last year. That's fine. Do you have that present trust in Jesus Christ today? Because if you're a believer, you'll be able to have an active faith in Christ, a present trust today. You can't have a lot of assurance if you're just banking it on something you did when you were 12. And you've really seen no life since then. Secondly, is there evidence of the Spirit's work in your heart? We know as believers that as soon as we trust in Christ, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He indwells us, lives within us. The Spirit of the living God lives within the believer. Now, don't you think that if the Spirit of the living God is truly living in a person, there is going to be some change in that person. There's going to be some evidence in that person. The presence of the Holy Spirit, do you have that in your life? Ephesians 1:13-14. And you also were called in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Think about that. If you bought a house, you know that besides filling out tons of paperwork, you put down a deposit, a down payment. That down payment doesn't pay for the house. That down payment is just a promise that you're going to keep the installments coming until it's paid for. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live a life pleasing to him, but also as a down payment, as a deposit guaranteeing that he will keep us to the end. And if that deposit is there, there should be some things going on in our life. There should be some fruit. There should be a little bit of life there. Do you have the presence of the Spirit? Secondly, do you have the testimony of the Spirit? Romans 8, if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body. The Spirit's living in you. There's going to be some obedience going on there, putting down the misdeeds of the body, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear again, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Look at verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So in your heart, maybe it's at night when no one else is listening, there should be not an audible voice, something in your heart that says, you are mine. You belong to me. And it's by that confidence that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Is there evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your heart by His presence, by the testimony of the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Not perfect, but a pattern of these things going on in our life. Again, if the Spirit is there, He is producing these things. Do you hold a sound teaching? Are you having regular devotions? I'm not saying every day, although that would be the optimum, but neither am I saying once every 6 months. And when you miss your time with the Lord, do you miss your time with the Lord? That would be an evidence of the Spirit at work in your heart. A pattern of obedience. Do you obey His commands? 1 John says this, the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. Yeah, I know Christ. I trusted in Christ. I just don't do anything He says. John says pretty bluntly, doesn't he? No, you don't. Is there a pattern of obedience in your life? And how about this one? Involvement in Christian fellowship. People will come and they'll say, you know, I trusted in Christ when I was 15. But I've never been involved in church. Not a big deal to me. I think all of them are hypocrites. You know, I'm not going to be a part of it. What does that tell you? The church isn't our idea. It's the idea of Christ. It's His body. And if you're a believer, you're going to be involved in some type of fellowship. If you're going to obey His commands, it's His idea. If a person says, man, I'm a Christian. I'm not involved in church. I got to say, time out. Are you sure? Because you cannot find a New Testament believer who is not involved in a fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These are evidences that God is at work in your heart. Here's the last one. Do I see a long-term pattern of growth in my Christian life? So here I started. Do I at least see a little growth? Doesn't have to be big graph, but just a little. Flat line is not a good indication of anything, is it? It's a little growth. Let me give you some passages of Scripture here. Jot these down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this, He who began a good work in you will what? Carry it on to completion. You'll see a long-term period of growth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord will rescue me, Paul says, from every evil attack and will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom, Paul says with confidence. One more, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never fade. It's kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Remember, nothing can snatch you out of His hand. God is the one who keeps you there. Salvation is of Him. He holds you in His hand. And this verse says, your faith is shielded by God's power. That word means to protect or guard. God will protect you until you go home to be with Him, if you are truly a child of God. So about 3 years after that Bible study with Jan, I applied to seminary. And my application to Dallas Theological Seminary was denied. Not because of grades. I always want to make that clear. It was denied because I did not hold to assurance of salvation. I called them and I said, man, I love everything about Dallas Seminary. I love the teaching of Scripture. I love that it's non-denominational. Will you reconsider? And they said, yeah, we will. We'll reconsider if you come with an open mind. And so I did. I'll never forget the first semester, hot Dallas day, having just completed a class on theology proper. In that class, I was confronted by this truth, that salvation is of the Lord. And he's the one who brings people to himself. And he's the one whose love is unconditional. And they're in a parking lot in Dallas, Texas, hot day, standing by my 1976 red Ford Maverick. I hated that car. I was talking to another classmate, and there I grasped, I accepted for the first time that nothing could separate me from the love of God. And I got to tell you, it was like a load of bricks came off from my shoulders. And I could finally live a life of freedom, not to go sin, but a life to please God. I pray that you have that same knowledge and acceptance of the truth as well. And if you don't, I pray that today is the day that God proves it to you and testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God and will forever be.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? You can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate his joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
R.C. Sproul says to call the Christian faith a blind faith is not only demeaning to Christians, but an outrage to God. When the Bible speaks of blindness, it uses the image for people who by their sin walk in darkness. Christianity calls people out of darkness, not into darkness. Faith is an antidote to blindness, not the cause of it. The Christian faith is woven together with support and evidence and substance. We can be certain of what we believe. So how do we acquire this faith? How do we make it our own? Well, there are two stages to faith that I want us to differentiate between this morning. One is an initial faith. One is an ongoing faith. Initial faith we call saving faith. An ongoing faith is simply a life of faith that we live as a believer. So let's start with saving faith. What is saving faith? I want to explain it this morning by using an acronym, the acronym CAT, spelled with a K. K-A-T. Here's the first thing, knowledge. Saving faith begins with a body of knowledge. You do not have to be a theologian. You don't have to memorize scripture. You don't have to know Genesis from Revelation, but you need to know these four things. You need to know, first of all, that the Bible says you are a sinner and your sin separates you from God and your sin separates you from God for eternity. That's the first one. The secondly, you got to know you can do nothing to remedy the situation. That's what the Bible says. Thirdly, you got to know the Bible says Jesus paid the penalty for my sin by his death on the cross. And finally, you have to know by trusting in Christ alone. The Bible says I can have a relationship with the God of eternity.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.